It is 1:30. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We are breaking into our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. Last Friday, Governor Hutchinson announced 1,171 positive coronavirus test results in the state, with 23 people having died from COVID-19. We haven't had a daily briefing from Governor Hutchinson or state health officials since that briefing last Friday, so today the latest update from the state health department shows an increase in cases up to 1,398, with 29 deaths resulting from COVID-19. Over the weekend, we also heard the first instance of an inmate in the state's prison system testing positive for coronavirus. The State Department of Corrections saying an inmate tested positive Saturday at the Cummins unit, just about 75 miles southeast of Little Rock. But a few moments ago, we heard a corrections spokesperson saying 43 of the 46 inmates that were housed in the same area as that first inmate have also tested positive for the virus. A statement from the department says none of those inmates are symptomatic at this time, and that the barracks where the outbreak started is under quarantine. Again, that's at the Cummins unit, that is the state's largest prison, just about 75 miles southeast of Little Rock near Pine Bluff. And of course, that news about the state's prison system comes while as many as 29 inmates and staffers at a federal prison in Forest City have also tested positive for the coronavirus. Also last week, a big focus of the last briefing on Friday was the health department's directive that limits non-essential surgical procedures in the state. That is in an effort to conserve that personal protective equipment like masks and gloves, also to limit physical contact between healthcare providers and patients. We heard the department had ordered the state's only surgical abortion clinic, that's Little Rock Family Planning Services, to cease and desist, both for the sake of conserving that PPE as well as concerns over people traveling from out of state to undergo that procedure here in Little Rock. And we heard today the American Civil Liberties Union, on behalf of the clinic, is suing the state in an attempt to keep surgical abortions accessible in Arkansas while those restrictions remain during the coronavirus outbreak here in the state. Again, this is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. We are awaiting live remarks from Governor Asa Hutchinson and state health officials. It is the latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. We went the weekend without a briefing. So our last briefing on Friday, the governor announced 1,171 positive cases of the coronavirus, with 23 people having died from the disease caused by the virus COVID-19. Today, the latest update from the Arkansas Department of Health shows an increase in cases up to 1,398 people testing positive for the virus here in Arkansas, with 29 deaths resulting from COVID-19. Again, we are awaiting live remarks from the governor's press briefing room at the state capitol here in Little Rock. This is as lawmakers are continuing to meet for a fiscal session of the legislature. As you remember, about 3 weeks ago, we had a special session that was an attempt to bridge a budget gap that was caused by the coronavirus outbreak, specifically the postponement of the state's income tax deadline past the fiscal year end at the end of June. That budget gap, about $353 million. We saw lawmakers freeing up about $170 million to go toward bridging that gap. Again, they are currently meeting. The Senate is meeting in its Senate chamber at the Capitol, while the House is meeting at the University of Arkansas Little Rock campus, the basketball arena here on campus, in an effort to social distance. And of course, they did that in the special session, but three lawmakers did test positive for the coronavirus just a few days after that. Those are Representative Reginald Murdoch and Representative Vivian Flowers, as well as Representative Les Warren. And again, you are listening to, you're awaiting live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. And the latest numbers, again, from the health department, 1,398 cases of the coronavirus here in Arkansas, resulting in 29 deaths from COVID-19. Now, those numbers, 1,398, that is just the total amount of people who have ever tested positive for the coronavirus here in the state. Test results, of course, coming from the Department of Health, UAMS, and a number of private laboratory companies here in the state. Last week, we did hear that the number of active cases is about 850. So there are not currently 1,398 people who do have the coronavirus. That number probably has grown from the mid-800s since last Friday. But just good to remember that the numbers that we are hearing every day at these daily briefings does not reflect the actual number of people who are currently having active cases of the coronavirus. Last week, we did hear that 86 people were hospitalized, and we heard a story from Governor Hutchinson about the first state employee to pass away from COVID-19. We heard Secretary of Health Dr. Nate Smith saying that it looks like the curve is being flattened in the state. He said that the number of new cases every day appears to be leveling off in the 70s, roughly 70 new cases each day. But we did see over from last Friday, there were 1,171 cases. That's increased to 1,398 today. So we can do the math on that. And again, last week, we did hear a few updates about unemployment from Secretary of Commerce Mike Preston. He said anyone who filed for unemployment in the week ending March 21st or March 28th should have already gotten their unemployment benefits, as well as an added $600 from the $2 trillion federal bailout called the CARES Act. He said the number of unemployment claims is beginning to level off in the state, and he said that people who filed for unemployment insurance ending in the week ending April 4th, their claims should have been processed yesterday, and they should have their funds available Monday. That is today, of course. And this comes as we are beginning to see a few people receiving their stimulus check also coming from the CARES Act. That's about a $1,200 check for most people, beginning to see those direct deposited into some people's accounts. But of course, it will be a couple of months before everyone does receive those. Once again, this is 89.1 KURR Little Rock, and we go now live to Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the daily COVID-19 update that we took a leave of absence for the last 2 days. But it's important to re-engage on this from a communication standpoint and make sure everyone understands exactly where we are in Arkansas, what's ahead, and what we need to be doing. I am joined, of course, by Secretary Nate Smith, and Director A.J. Gary of the Department of Emergency Management. Let me first give you a case update. And the case update shows that yesterday we had 1,280 cases. There's been an addition of 130 new cases, so we have a total of 1,410 cases. We have 74 that are hospitalized, and we have 30 deaths, and Dr. Smith will elaborate on some of those statistics. I did want to talk about some of the new cases that we have. As I mentioned, we have 130 new cases. Of those, we have a situation in the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City in which we have been engaged in significant testing through our Department of Health, and that has resulted in 55 positives within the Federal Correctional Institute there in Forest City. That's 35 or more inmates, staff, and one independent contractor, all within that confined environment. In addition, we have our first real significant breakout in of the virus in our state prison, which is our Cummins maximum prison unit, in which we have a maximum security unit, one barrack, that has tested 43 out of 46 positive in that one barracks. And so you can see from these two, both FCI and in Forest City, as well as the prison in Cummins, that we have 98 of our cases are from a shelter-in-place environment. And so you have to put that in perspective as to where we are In terms of our testing, the testing that comes from the commercial labs is still a very, very low percent positive. But as we concentrate in one of our prisons where there's been an outbreak, you have a very high percent of positives. And we focus our testing energy and capability to identify and isolate the breakout of the virus within that environment. Obviously, you want to be able to contain it. Secretary Kelly, we met with today, is working very hard to make sure that, first of all, we do the right amount of testing there, so that's our focus. Secondly, that we isolate them within barracks that have tested positive, and then they have the proper medical treatment that obviously everyone expects for anyone who has come down with this virus. And so that's a little bit of report on where we are. The restriction on visitors has been in place from really day one there within the prison environment, and that restriction continues. I did want to go to a couple graphs today, and if we could pull the first graph up. And this is the number of newly admitted COVID-19 patients. Which are really the new hospitalizations each day that occur. So you can see on the first day, we have March 23, we have five newly hospitalized. Of course, we had a spike. We had zero, and then it goes up to 28 newly hospitalized. And so these are the each day numbers that you can see for new hospitalizations. Whenever there's a blank, that means there have been zero that have been newly hospitalized. And if you go on down to the latest time frame, which is April 12th there, we have an additional number that are hospitalized. But you can see the hospitalizations, while it peaked there about April 9th, it has gone steadily down or steady state since that time. And if you go to the next slide, which is the number of currently admitted patients, which is really our hospitalizations. And this is one of the things I've said from the very beginning that we should be tracking. And so you start March 23, we had 10 that were hospitalized, and these are total numbers that are hospitalized. And then of course it goes up, whereas 48, and then it goes up to 65, and then it peaks with about 85 that were hospitalized on April 11th. And since then, you can see that the hospitalizations have been steady or on somewhat of a decline. And then if you go to the last graphic, which is the number of active cases versus recovered cases, Dr. Smith reviewed this, I believe it was last week. We've updated it, of course, to the current. So let me describe the different, what you see here. First, on the top line, you have the number of positive cases as a whole. And they're always going to go up because it's a cumulative number and you add to that every day. So the top line is always going to go up, and it is, as we indicated today, right over 1,400. And then the second line is the number of active cases. And of course, that is after you subtract the recovered cases, which is the blue line. So the blue line is the recovered cases, and then the this second line is the active cases that we have, which is the differential. And you can see that that continues to go up, but it is while the recovered cases continues as well. And then the bottom line are the number of deaths, which is a low number. That is fairly low in comparison to the other cases. And so here's the message that I want to leave today with this slide being left up there just for a second. And that is that there's not any indication that we have reached the peak yet. Now, we're hoping that the peak comes sooner versus later. But I'll remind you that as you flatten, and that's what we've done, as you flatten the number of cases that you have and reduce the increase, then you're going to extend the peak time period, which is the objective that we've had. And so the University of Washington first had our, about 2 weeks ago, they had our peak come in at April 24th. Now they've increased it now to April 29th. Why did they do that? It's because we flattened the curve, but that extends the trend line as well. And so keep in mind, everyone, that we have not yet reached our peak, both in terms of projections, but also in terms of where we see the trend line going. And so it's not a time to let up. It's not a time to decrease our intensity on social distancing, on avoiding the gatherings of more than 10, and also on wearing face masks when you cannot appropriately social distance. I'm amazed at how well the Arkansans are doing on this. I want to thank you, but it's not a time to let up in that way. Now, this last weekend, you saw a number of references about when are we going to open up on some of the talk shows, and one of our leading doctors used the phrase, we might have a rolling reentry program where we open up businesses again. And so the conversation is starting nationally about that. I want to caution that we cannot change the direction we're going at the present time. Now is not the time to let up. I want to keep us going in this same direction because you can see that we're still going up in the trend line. We have flattened the rate. We have decreased the growth rate, but we're not there yet. And so everyone, do not let up despite some of the national conversation. And the national conversation is coming because people have stayed cloistered as long as they can stand being cloistered, and they want to see things return to some level of normality. I think we in Arkansas have kept a consistent pace about this. We've lowered the trajectory, but we should not give up and quit on this. We can deal with this, and we've got to be able to do that. And so my admonition is that we have to assume that we have not reached our peak yet, so let's stick with it. And then secondly, until we have reached our peak and are confident of that, then we've got to wear our mask, we've got to socially distance, and you've got to avoid large gatherings. And then I do want to look to the future for a second. And the future is about figuring out what we do when we are confident that we're at the peak and on the downward side of that slope. And I'm announcing today the appointment of a medical advisory board for COVID-19 post-peak. And let me rephrase that name again. It's a medical advisory board for COVID-19 post-peak. I am interested in looking ahead as to when we start going down that downward slope. I've asked Dr. Nate Smith to chair this, but we'll be releasing the names of seven highly skilled epidemiologists and others that have been engaged in infectious diseases. That will be the medical advisory team that will help give us guidance as to what does it look on the downside of that slope. What should be our criteria that we look at? What do we need to do to avoid peaks in the future? What do we need to do to not see a resurgence of this? And how can we live in this environment? What kind of mitigation efforts do we need to have in place? That's what I'll be tasking them to do, and to help develop the criteria that should be used to keep us on the downslope of new cases and to avoid the peaks later in the year. And so with that, I want to thank Dr. Smith again for his leadership and ask him to make any comments.
Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health, Governor, Dr. Nate Smith.
I want to give a little bit more detail on the numbers that the governor shared. The governor shared that we have 130 new cases today compared to yesterday at this time, and that is our single largest increase in 24-hour period of time. Over the weekend, we had in the 50s increase each day, which had been less than we had had been averaging prior to that. The reason for the increase, I'll go over as I go through our lab numbers. We had 1,030 test reports yesterday. 883 of those were from commercial labs, and the positivity rate was 2.9%, which is about what we had been seeing. We also had 53 from UAMS lab, and their positivity rate was 5.7, which is about what we had been seeing before. 94 of those were from the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab, and 71% of those were positive. And the reason for that is we were selectively testing populations, particularly incarcerated populations. And so of the 67 new positives from the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab, most of them were from the Cummins unit and other incarcerated or congregate settings. These are high-risk settings where COVID-19 can spread very easily, very rapidly, but they're also closed systems, and they don't necessarily represent the situation in Arkansas in general. But in the Cummins unit, as the governor's mentioned, we had 43 tests positive and a barracks of 46. So you can understand how efficiently COVID-19 can be spread in that setting. We have also had in our Little Rock community corrections over a period of a couple of weeks, we've had 27 staff test positive. We now have had 5 of 15 inmates test positive. So we'll be testing all of the inmates at the Little Rock Community Corrections. And we also, the governor has mentioned, the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City. We are up to 46 inmates, 8 staff, and 1 contractor. The testing strategy there is not entirely under our control because it's a federal facility. The CDC director, Robert Redfield, has indicated that CDC will be taking the lead on that investigation, and their plan is to implement a risk-based testing strategy, but we can expect to have additional positives from there as well. There is also a smaller facility, a drug rehab treatment facility in central Arkansas that had 15 residents test positive and 9 staff, so 24 total. So you can see we had quite a few positives because we were testing in our highest risk settings, and we'll continue to do that. That's the way it's most strategic for us to use our testing capacity at the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab. The governor mentioned we have a total now of 1,410 cumulative cases, and that's 989 active cases. We have 1 new county, which is Jackson County. We have 74 currently hospitalized. That includes 8 new hospitalizations, newly hospitalized from yesterday. We have a total of 28 on a ventilator, and we're up to 30 deaths, as the governor mentioned before. We have 193 healthcare workers who have tested positive, of whom 58 have recovered. The last thing that I'd like to mention may seem very unrelated to what I've just been talking about, summer camp. Around the dinner table last night, my college-age son mentioned that he was planning on going back and being a camp counselor this summer, as he's done for the last few years. And I suggested to him that they may not be having summer camp. That was a little bit of a surprise to him, but it shouldn't be a surprise to the rest of us, although there's a big difference between summer camp and a maximum security unit to the COVID-19 virus. There's not that much of a difference. You're bringing together people from all over the country, putting them in a highly congregate setting for a week or so, and then you send them back. Even if we were on the downside of cases at that point, that's a high-risk setting for a resurgence. So we will be sending out some guidance on summer camps just to help those who are involved in that to plan and prepare. With that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
With that, we'll take any questions.
I guess what measures measures have been in place in the prisons, even prior to this? Because it seems like you said, once it blew up, it really got a hold of both of those facilities.
Well, actually, in terms of Cummins, it's one barrack. So you think of the whole prison complex, then you have one open barrack. And in that barrack, you had, I believe it was 43 out of 46 that tested positive. So as Dr. Smith says, it shows how quickly it can disperse. In terms of the measures that were in place prior to this, the key is there was no outside visitors. And that was put into place immediately because that's what brings the outside contact in. So we prohibited outside visitors coming in. You have to remember what a hardship that is for the prisoners, but it's necessary. And then secondly, as I pointed out, the prison industries have started making masks internally, and so they have masks that are available for the guards as well as for the inmates, which would be not N95 masks, surgical masks, but a mask that they can use and separate each other from the spread of the virus. And then it's the cleaning aspect of it as well. So all those things have been put into place, putting those protective measures that come in. And despite all of that, we've had this one breakout, but you contain it, and hopefully that it will not be impacting any other barracks. We'll have to wait and see.
Do we know yet how it got in there, or kind of what the patient zero of the prisons were?
Dr. Smith, I've heard something, but you better comment.
Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith again.
At this point, we don't have any staff who have tested positive, but we'll be testing staff, and we'll be sampling inmates from other barracks as well to make sure we're not missing anyone. Part of the challenge in a congregate living setting there is, there are people who are infected and who have no symptoms or mild symptoms, and in a situation where people are all living together, it's quite possible that the virus can spread even from people who don't have symptoms or who have minimal symptoms. So it's the fortunate thing about that kind of setting is that it's not that hard to contain it because people aren't going out and about. They're not leaving the prison, but it is challenging for the prison to be able to do the testing and segregate those who test positive from those who test negative. But we're advising them, we're working closely with them.
Has any of that population been hospitalized or put on vents or anything?
I believe that one individual from Cummins has been hospitalized, but I'm not sure their status.
Are you worried about the disease spreading to other barracks?
Certainly, there's a concern there, which is why we've already worked with them to make sure that the staff who work with that barracks don't work with other barracks, that we don't have inmates going from one barracks to another, and that those in that barracks won't be mingling with others either during recreation time or during meal time.
There are some who would like to see the governor use his pardon and commutation powers to thin the ranks of inmates?
Well, this is probably an example of where that would be unwise. If you look at there's a reason that these inmates are in a maximum security unit. And so I don't see that happening. Now, if it spreads more broadly, there are potential plans that we could look at some offenders that are close to their release date, but we're not close to having to do that now. Let's see where we go from here. Whenever it's not in any other barracks or any other prison units, then there's not any reason to do it in those facilities. And then this one is in a maximum security unit for a reason. I mean, they're there for a reason, and so we don't want to release those, and we hope that it is contained there. So that's something you have to look at day by day and situation by situation, but I don't see, hopefully that won't have to happen.
Dr. Smith, what's been the average hospital stay for any of these patients?
Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
It's difficult for us while we're still in it to know exactly what the average is because there are many of the patients who are still hospitalized. Of those who have been discharged, we did that analysis last week and found that the average was 6 days. That may have changed since then, but I think 6-7 days is about what we would expect with this. There are certainly those who were in the hospital much longer. There's some who have been in the hospital, really still are in the hospital. So those who get on a ventilator, we know from our national experience, it tends to be more like 2 weeks or more on a ventilator. So that's certainly longer than that shorter 6 day period.
Is there a question here, then we'll take one remotely.
At the federal prison, is the CDC doing its own testing, or is that the health department doing testing on behalf of the CDC?
In terms of the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City, up to this time, we've been advising them and working with them on that. We had a team from CDC who came down the latter part of last week and then left on Saturday. They gave some recommendations, but they'll continue to engage that prison. And a particular piece that's not yet been fully sorted out is a risk-based testing strategy. We have done some testing for that federal facility, but there are quite a few inmates there, and that would take a while with our current capacity to test all of those.
Let me.
I have a question from Memphis.
All right. Just one second here. Let me add to that, and Dr. Smith, you can correct me if I'm in error here, but all of the testing that has been done there has been through, and statistically has been added to our numbers here. So whether it's a CDC number or a Department of Health test, those numbers count in our Arkansas statistics. Is that correct, Dr. Smith? I just want to make that point. And now let's go remotely. Please go ahead and give your question.
Sure. This is Jessica Jagloys from WMC in Memphis. I have a couple questions. First, Governor Hutchinson, can you please clarify what you mean by a shelter-in-place scenario? This outbreak has been in a shelter-in-place scenario because corrections officers are still leaving to and from those facilities. Also, in regards to Forest City, we have received multiple complaints that there isn't soap for inmates, multiple showers do not work. There was a recent sewage backup. How are those issues being addressed? And lastly, what did the CDC do there? How many inmates did they test?
Well, first of all, in terms of the phraseology that I used, Dr. Smith used the term congregate settings. Well, a congregate setting is a closed environment, which is a prison setting, and that's the context in which I said they're, in essence, all the prisoners are sheltering in place. They're in a congregate type setting. Certainly, there's independent contractors, there's people that come in and out of that environment, but they are sheltered in place in that congregate setting. In terms of the other questions that you ask about the facilities there and how it's done, that's a federal facility. And so it's not something that I can control. It's not something that Dr. Smith can control or the state can control. That's run by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And so anything would have to be addressed to them on the operations of the facility. In terms of the CDC, they came in at our request, did an evaluation of that. It's my understanding they've gone back to Atlanta, and we've asked them to come and to take responsibility for that. Because it's a lot of testing resources that will be used in that federal facility if we're required to do it. And, as Dr. Smith says, there ought to be risk-based testing there, which is really, who they've been in contact with. Let's test those in the same barrack. And we don't have to test everybody in the prison, but you take it one step at a time to see who might be exposed to it and do that testing. And so that's in discussions with CDC as to whether they will, and the Bureau of Prisons will accomplish that objective that we've recommended.
So you're asking them to come back?
Yes.
question about summer camp. When you talk about summer, you're talking about June, July, August, September?
Well, I have particularly in mind with many of these summer camps, they start bringing together the people who are going to work there in early May. So bringing a bunch of college kids or whoever from different parts of the country together, living in the same sort of barracks type of setting as they're preparing for campers, you know, that itself is a risk.
So what, when you say, how long is this directive going to last?
Well, I would hope that that we'll eventually be to a point where we can safely do that, but the COVID-19 virus is not exactly on my timetable, but I think I can say with confidence that we're, based on where we are right now, bringing together a bunch of campers or even counselors in May doesn't sound like a good idea at all.
Also apply to recreational sports and soccer tournaments, baseball, softball, etc.
I think we already have a directive that covers that. Thank you.
Where are we as a state as far as tracing goes? Are we going to be pursuing a tracing program or something like that?
You're talking about contact tracing? Yes, we continue to do contact tracing, but our main focus is on these congregate settings, these high-risk settings, nursing homes, incarcerated populations, you know, others where you have the greatest risk of transmission in the shortest period of time. And that's just wise use of resources. But we've continued to grow our team. Last time I gave numbers as far as the number of people doing contact tracing, I went back and my staff corrected me because we continue to train and expand our capacity. And we'll continue to do that. I've been in conversations with CDC as well. Their intention is to supplement our efforts as well in various ways, understanding that contact tracing and case follow-up are just as important on the downside of this curve as they are on the upside.
Can I have a follow-up question over the remote link?
Yes.
You mentioned the schools obviously being closed until the end of the school year and talking now about summer camps and keeping people from congregating in those settings, yet daycare centers continue to remain open. So how do you address parents who have kids in K through 12 or beyond that, you know, may use summer camps as their summer daycare, yet daycares remain open?
Now, the daycares that you ask about, daycares can remain open. Is that your point?
Yeah, I guess the question is, how do you address parents who have children in K through 12 who use summer camps as their daycare? How are they supposed to take care of their children this summer if daycares or if these summer camps end up being limited?
Well, it's important to note that we have not closed daycares in Arkansas. And so daycares can continue to operate. Obviously, they need to do their distancing within there and have their health protocols in place. But they can continue to operate. In fact, we've encouraged them because they're so important for our healthcare workers, our emergency responders, and essential services, and on down the line. And so it's probably even a greater hardship in the summer, but we hope that they will be able to stay in place. And we hope that things can change quickly. I visited with Dr. Smith about summer camps. I know how important they are. And we have a lot of great summer camps here in Arkansas. That's really their ministry or their business. They do that, and that's what their property and their assets are there for. So I hope that we can have such success that we can end this emergency and we can reopen those camps. But they needed to know in advance that they can't plan, you know, on May 20th or May 30th having summer camp, and particularly when they come from out of state, they need some advance notice on that. And so until the emergency's over and we're clear of this, then that's just something they should not plan on.
ACLU and Little Rock Family Planning Services sued the state today in terms of the abortions. Any response to the
It's not unexpected, but in terms of our actions, we took the same action toward this clinic as we would any other clinic that was violating a directive in terms of not engaging in elective surgical procedures. And so we followed the same process. They chose to take it into court. We'll see what the court says on that.
Well, I guess what is that line when it comes to abortions, when it becomes elective and a necessity? Where do you guys kind of draw that line at?
Well, of course, the line of distinction was between medication abortions and surgical abortions. And there was a distinction that was made in the directive in that regard.
Any more details on the advisory board and when you expect to name the members?
We've named them already, Katie will provide that as soon as this is over with. I could actually give you the names, but I left that one sheet of paper in my office. We'll have that for you.
Any cases of a second positive test amongst anyone, or have we seen that yet?
Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Not sure I understand the question. A second positive test?
From one person who has recovered and then potentially tested positive a second time.
Well, we have had individuals who have tested positive and then after they've recovered from their symptoms, someone has done another test to see if they've cleared the virus and they've tested positive again. We do recommend that in a hospital setting because of the high risk of transmission if you take someone out of isolation. But for those who are an outpatient, we recommend a non-test strategy for determining someone who's recovered, consistent with CDC guidelines. It is possible that the PCR tests that we use are very sensitive. They'll pick up a very small amount of virus. Whether that virus is viable or whether that virus is sufficient to actually transmit to someone, it doesn't really distinguish very well. We generally don't advise someone who's recovered and who's feeling well, they're outside of a hospital setting, they don't need to get another test. But when they have been tested, sometimes they have found a positive.
One final question from the table, and we'll see if there's another one remotely.
Could we ask Dr. Smith about summer camps again? So you're saying that summer camps might open in June? When I try to pin you down, you kind of weave and dodge.
Well, I would prefer for us to make those decisions based on the most current information that we have. Sitting here in the middle of April, I don't have as much information as I will have middle of May, middle of June. It would be nice if we could. From what I'm seeing right now, it seems unlikely, but I'd rather not rule that out, you know, until we have more information, more time goes on.
Is there one additional question remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Wanted to see if you had any reaction to the president's comment today that his assertion that he, not the governors, has the authority to open up the states. Wanted to get your reaction to that, but also see, you know, does that affect your approach in terms of lifting any of the restrictions in Arkansas? Are you seeking their approval or coordinating with them for deciding what to do for reopening things here?
I think there's been a good partnership with the federal government. We've worked closely. We just had a call with the vice president today, and I don't see that there will be an issue there. We all want to move in the same direction in terms of winning this fight and getting back to normal activities, but ultimately, the federal government has not declared the scope, and I don't know that they could do that. They've relied upon the states to manage this crisis in terms of acquiring PPE with a backstop help from the federal government. They've allowed us to use our discretion in terms of exactly the protective and safety measures that should be in place. And we've utilized that. So that's just simply a prerogative and the way things should work in terms of the states having the flexibility to manage it. And I expect that to continue. And I did hear one other question there, and we'll end with that. Was there another question remotely?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much. This is Morgan at KTHB. We were wondering if there's any instance of an outbreak within an Arkansas hospital.
The Arkansas State Hospital, which is the state-owned facility for those that are mentally challenged or under observation, and we had about seven that tested positive there, and we've been able to manage and work through that, and we're continuing to monitor that. With that, thank you for your attention today, and we'll see, hopefully, you tomorrow. Thank you.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in the state. You are listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Today we heard Governor Hutchinson talking about the latest increase in coronavirus cases in the state. Yesterday he said there were 1,280 positive test results for the coronavirus. That has increased by 130 additional cases. The total number of people who have ever tested positive for the coronavirus in Arkansas now stands at 1,410. And we have reached the point of 30 deaths from COVID-19 in Arkansas. 74 people remain hospitalized. And we heard a bit about sort of institutions in the state that have seen a number of instances of, I guess you could call it, community spread of coronavirus. We heard an update on the situation at the Federal Correctional Institution in Forest City over there in eastern Arkansas. 55 positive cases have been identified among staff and prisoners there. That is up from 29 cases last week. We heard Governor Hutchinson saying that is more or less a federal responsibility. The CDC will be handling the testing there. Again, you have been listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. This has been live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak. This is KUAR News.